Okay. Hey, I'm Jamie. I'm a heroin and cocaine addict again. So I get the pleasure of introducing Lindsay tonight. Have to preface that I'm her girlfriend. The last time that I introduced her, I didn't say that, and it got real creepy. I was like up here, I've been obsessed with her since 2012, and people were really kind of disturbed. They're like, who is this woman? So I would love to say that I'm her number one fan and her number one supporter. I know there's individuals that would fight me over that position. And I secretly really do love that. I love how loved she is. I love how supported she is. I love the relationships that she has with friends and with people that she works with. I don't know that I've ever admired or respected a partner as much as I do her. She is an individual who continues to strive for evolution and for growth, strives to better her relationship with God. I regularly meditate with this woman, which is so weird to me that I can sit in 20-minute meditations and just be with her. I've never been more comfortable to be myself around her, and I think she brings that element to, I mean, fuck, like every relationship that she has. I don't know. If you need some clarity on what alcoholism is, if you need some clarity on what a relationship with God looks like, if you need some clarity on what powerlessness and what that looks like in your life, listen very closely, because the way that she is able to describe it, the way that she is able to relate her personal experience with alcoholism is, I don't know that I've ever met anyone who can do it like she can. It has been my absolute honor to be with her for the last year and a half and talk about God and talk about what we're up against. And I've seen her in some of the darkest moments. She's seen me in some of my darkest moments. And I don't know, she's just an incredible woman. So I'm very excited. I get excited every time she talks, y'all. She got to a certain point where she stopped telling me when she had speaking arrangements. Because she was like, God, she must be so tired of hearing me talk. And it couldn't be farther from true. So we need to get the energy up a little bit. I know she'll do that. She'll make y'all laugh. She'll probably make me cry. But I don't know. I'm really excited. So I give y'all Lindsay.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Hey, y'all. I'm Lindsay. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Lindsay.
First, Jamie, thank you. Before I get back to that, not kidding, seriously, I have a big, big heart for smokers. And if you, like, need to just go smoke or, like, kick it or do it, we're good. Just doesn't it, you know, like, just go ahead. If you're like, God, I feel bad, like, don't. You're fine. Do whatever you got to do. Don't care. Bye. No big deal. See ya. I'm used to this, you know. Please do. Please, like, go smoke, go do whatever, you know, you got to do. It's all good. And plus, I know it's y'all have been here for a while. But I want to thank everyone who has spoke. Thank you so much. Well, that was incredible. I love that. And Jamie, thank you again. I feel like that's like a big, like, that's pretty high up there. Well, that will be done. So, and I don't even think Miles is here, but I want to thank him for asking me to do this. Yeah, he's probably smoking. Yeah, please go smoke. I'm so grateful. I mean, I'm fortunate to have the opportunity to take, meetings to other, like, sober livings, and some of them are here tonight, and it's so great to see y'all here. And, after all these years, I'm very, very crystal clear that, like, in some meetings, I'm sitting there and there's like 20 people. I'm lucky to get five. I'm lucky to get five people who are like, who are participating. And that's why I'm here. Because I don't know. It could be two, it could be 20, it could be one, it could be a half. I think that my creator will take any of it. So if my intention, anytime that I get asked to speak, is to disturb you on the question of alcoholism, mainly because if it wasn't for someone disturbing me on the question of alcoholism, drug addiction, I can't. There's no way that I don't know. I'm a byproduct of being disturbed, and I'm a byproduct of a very very loving creator to be open to that. So my intention is to disturb you on the question of alcoholism and to share. Let me read it so I don't mess it up. Hold up. I share it every time, but I always feel bad if I like read it wrong or something. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. And there's other ways to establish relationship with God, all this stuff, but I've read that for many years because I read it wrong for so many years, for about like six. I would just in meetings, you know, you hear, well, I'm going to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. And then I had a guy take me through the steps. I was like, no, it says what you used to be like. So share with them the state of being. Share that, right? Don't share it. Share the being. Share what it's like to be bound to self. Share what it's like to be enslaved by alcohol, enslaved by alcoholism. That's much more. We're going to connect on that way more than the it's. It's kind of similar to what Carl and Tarek were sharing about all that external stuff. It's great for some identification, but at the end of the day, if we don't identify in the state of being and that hopelessness and demoralization, that, you know, who cares how many cars you wrecked, or who cares how many cars I've wrecked, and who cares? All that stuff just doesn't matter. So I'm going to share what I used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I don't know, you know, most everyone who's here now, except for a few, were here like pretty much through the whole time. And so there's already been such great discussions around the first step. All right, because I'm not one to this day and age go back and tell you about my childhood and all that wild shit because, you know, we don't have time for it. And you can be very clear that I won't hold you 30 seconds over when it's over, by the way. I will not hold you hostage. Free to go. You know, we're going to have, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Really grateful that overall the experience I have speaking, I really don't have to think about it much, and I have no idea what it's going to happen or what I'm going to talk about. I bring my little notebook and stuff, but I don't even know if I'll open it. I have no idea. But I do know a guy asked a question when they were doing the first step, and he said, when did you realize you were fucked? And I was like, what a great question. You know, I mean, because in my experience, I'm definitely going to share about, you know, alcoholism and all that stuff. But I sat there, I was like, when did I realize I was fucked? And what was that? And I just kind of sat with it. And this is the thing, you just heard two of the greatest teachers of my life talk for an hour about the first step. Right, I'm not going to spend a ton of time other than sharing, answering this question. Now, a friend of mine, this guy named Jonathan, and the same thing when Bill shared a story, which was consequences don't get us sober, right? And it's the weirdest thing because you would think it would, and we kind of believe it does, but it's really just kind of a, like, accumulating to get our attention. You know what I mean? It's kind of like all of these instances of my intentions to not do this again, my intentions to not drink and drive again, my intentions to not screw my family over or not to steal or whatever it is, whatever my intentions are, over a long period of time of continuing, it starts to just get my attention. Right, and then this experience happened where I totaled another car, and all of it wouldn't matter if I hadn't been putting in that hard ass work to try to manage and control my drinking for years. Right, it wouldn't have mattered if I didn't experience continual pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. none of it would have mattered, just been like, who cares? Kind of like when you're young and you mess up and you're like, well, it don't matter anyways, like, whatever. But all that stuff came to a head and I got out of that and everything in me knew. Y'all, another great gift that I had in my experience was I'm so grateful that I had a family who was like, nah, we ain't fucking with you. They weren't going to do it. They were like, you're done here, right? 18, they were like, we don't know what that is, but we ain't doing that, and you ain't doing it here. And the great thing, I don't even know, I was like, okay. And I dawdled on off to West Virginia. Jesus. Anyways, years passed. I have that experience, towed another car. I mean, I begged them. I was one of those people who would get really bad, and then I would be like, oh, my God, I need help. You know, please help me. And they're like, okay, we'll give you this help. And I'm like, well, it ain't that bad. You know, it's like this bad. Like, I was always really going to try what I thought was going to work, which was usually in the realm of therapy and an antidepressant. And I truly, deeply believed for all these years that it was my depression. My depression and my anxiety was the root of my troubles. And that if I could fix my depression and anxiety, I wouldn't drink as much. Not I wouldn't drink. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Even when I told myself I was going to quit drinking, I would always be like, well, you know what? The problem is that I drink so much and just for so long. If we could trim this back a bit, you know, just kind of get here, we'd be square. But that was never able to happen. So after that wreck, when there was someone else in the car, and that was the second time I'd done this and people were injured, I don't know, man, it was just weird. I got out of that thing because that day, I had tried so, I don't know if anybody gets this, but I tried, not everyone has this experience, but it's just mine. I had tried so hard to, like when in Bill's story, when, you know, he says quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I mean, I'm talking, y'all, I had been moving like so much, just trying to stay afloat, right? Like, seriously, I tried so hard to figure out, okay, well, I just can't drink at this time until here, and I can't drink with anyone at work. So what I'll do is if I take these pills at these times, it's going to put me in this point to where I can function at this level. I mean, I was running this intensely for so long. So after I had spit out of that car, which I have no recollection of that day because I made a firm resolution at this job that I wasn't going to drink with employees. Well, you know, catch me on a Monday. And I was going to just have a margarita. Like, I don't even drink margaritas. But that was this, like, new, you know, I'm like, just this one. Well, of course, what always happened, but I never believe it's going to happen. That's the crazy thing about it. So, yeah, that happened, and I don't remember any of that day. I just remember the following day, which was also bizarre because my mom had to fill me in on other things. But I knew with every cell fiber being in my body that if I were to drink again, it was the first time that it occurred to me that it was actually the drinking, right? It was actually like, no, I need help like with my this. It's not like I need a little help with my anxiety or my depression or like, you know, I just need to figure my, like, if I had a better job or, and you get the fuck out of West Virginia, like, this holler's gross. You know, I don't like these people, whatever. All that stuff didn't matter. It was like, dude, I need to go get some serious help. Like, I need some help. And so, you know, all that happened. And it was so weird because a woman said, I went to this little, like, sober living graduation thing. And the woman that owns the program said something. And I was like, dude, that's some real shit. She said, she goes, you know, I meet a ton of desperate people. Most everyone I meet is desperate. But rarely do I meet a hopeless one. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. And that's just that's just my experience. Now, I was desperate. I was truly hope. I was just, I would do anything, right? But I'm still delusional. So it's not just because I'm like all of a sudden, like desperate and hopeless. I'm like, well, let me just, here I am sober now. Here I go. I'm still very delusional. Delusional enough to, when I'm doing the little assessment after I got out of the hospital and all that stuff, doing a little assessment, and the guy's like, well, we should go to the sober living. You know, it's just so great, too, because I'm like, dude, my, like, folks, I'll do anything. You know, just tell me what to do. I'll do it. And they're like, well, you need, you know, we got you set up with this little treatment dude. You need to go talk to him. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go talk to him. And this is the first time that I didn't fight my folks on help, which they didn't really fight back any time before, but they were like, okay, bye. But this is the first time I was like, I'll do, yeah, that's great. I'm grateful. Met the dude. He's like, we think you should go to the sober living gig out in Georgia. I'm from North Carolina. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's great, but you see, I have a job here, and I did not have a job. I got fired. But in my mind, I have a job. And I can't go there because my friends, let me just wait for the list. There wasn't a lot left, okay, guys? I mean, this is not working well. And then because of my family is like, you ship out yesterday. You know, I mean, this is what I'm up against. Like, I can't, but I'm so grateful because that man disturbed me. Because he said, I hear that, Lindsay. Have you considered, God, I said, I'm in school. Which I was not in. All right. I mean, I didn't go into that story. It's like, I'm not in school. Okay. I have made 1.5 classes in an entire semester. That's what I'm working with. But I'm like, I got school. You know, fourth college. This is the time. And he's like, dude, like, and he was like, would you consider that maybe if you don't go get better, you're going to continue to tear everything down like you've done for quite some time now? And I was like, God, that's a fucking good idea. Like, it just, like, never occurred to me. But if he wouldn't have questioned me, I would have really believed that, what I had going on, right? And then, really, truly, when I realized where I was screwed, I should probably change my language a little bit, but sorry. Went there, whatever. And I was truly desperate. I was like dying, right? The first time I went to a meeting, I had to get escorted out because I had an anxiety attack. But a guy sat with me alone at this diner and just talked to me. I can't remember one sentence. I can't repeat one thing that he said. All I know is that I went home that night and like this little tiny tear went down my face and I had felt safe for the first time in a long time. That's safe. Felt like it was possible. Like I might be okay. Like I just maybe might be okay. And I went out, you know, went there and I remember getting got all the big book and the treatment. And of course I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. No one's fine. No one's fine. And you're in treatment. You're not fine. You're not. Like, I'm sorry, but like, you're not fine. Things probably aren't well, you know, but we don't know how to say, I don't know what I'm feeling right now, because I'm feeling like one moment I'm like, God, so grateful. God is good. And the next moment I'm like, I hate everybody here. Yeah. Hate them all. They all suck. They're annoying. They're all annoying. Everyone. So I don't know how to just tell. I can't say that, because if I tell you that you annoy me, then you're not going to like me. And then like, what? You're going to kick me out. No, I'll do way worse things to get kicked out. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, going through, I get in big book and all that stuff, and I'm reading it, and y'all, it freaked me out. Like, I'd heard of AA through my family, but I always heard that they just made them want to drink more, so I didn't pay. I thought it was fake. I didn't know it was, like, real, but I was, like, blown away. Like, I was like, wow, I know, I identified with a lot of it, and then I met Carl, right? In fact, when I was new, they were like, you should talk to this guy. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not talking to anybody. The only people I would really talk to are people that had like 3 days like I did. You know, anybody else was like, nah, like I'm just terrified, you know? But it got so bad, what happened was internally, and I can't remember the timeline of things, but I highly was grateful to be there, truly. But I was so twisted on the inside, right? So I would do this thing, and I always try to share this because it's just a good depiction of, like, the state of being, right? Because you guys, I mean, if you haven't experienced pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization and all that stuff, I mean, you just heard all of it talked about. But I'm sober, and this is the weird thing. I'm not only sober and, like, completely separated, but I'm in a sober living in an outpatient, okay? And I am completely, like, alone, you know? I mean, this is weird. Like, this is super weird, but also very grateful. That's weird, too. Like, it was a super bizarre experience. I did not know what was happening. I was scared to talk about it. I was scared to tell somebody that everyone got on my nerves. I was super scared to talk about that. All of this stuff. I was so terrified. And every night, I would get up in the middle of the night, and I'd go to the kitchen, and I'd pour myself a little cup of apple juice by myself and pack of smokes, play some super depressing music, and just pretend that I was drunk. Just pretend I was going to get a buzz. I would just be like, I mean, like, because y'all, I can't, you take alcohol for me is the only thing that has relieved me from me, that has relieved me of the bondage of self, right? Just like Elric gave the consideration, sitting in meditation, is it uncomfortable being with yourself? Are you kind of like, damn, we've been sitting here 10 minutes. It must be 10 minutes. The timer's broken. I know it's broken. They need to check the timer, right? Or, like, all these weird, you're, like, having weird thoughts. You know, like, I should not be thinking that. That should not cross my mind ever. Why did I think about that? You know? Me being with me is intolerable. It's intolerable. And so when I was separated from that time, this was happening, but I have no language to communicate it. I'm terrified. Super terrified that you're going to shun me, right? Or that you're going to think I'm weird or fucked up or that I don't care and I don't want to be here when I do. I truly do. Well, enough of that. I got so wound up and I just snapped one day and I went and talked to Carl, you know? And I had never before that experience heard someone describe the way that I drank, how I felt and how I thought. I'd never heard it. I'd never heard it. It's kind of like, when Bill shares his first sip experience, he's not like, I knew then I had the mental obsession. The allergy was very clear on day three. I mean, he doesn't say that. He's like, no words could tell of the bitter self-pity, you know. He shares it like, this is the language. In the way Carl shared to me that day, I was like, oh my God, I've never said that to anybody. Like, he knew things that I did, that I thought, that I felt, that I never shared a soul. And I was like, ooh, you know, like, damn. And I was like, okay. And he took me through the book. This is when I realized I was screwed, is I got so much kind of false relief. Even Bill talks about it. When I learned about the allergy, 2 seconds we're in, that's clear as day. I had been wondering why that would happen to me when I drank and all things. I was like, well, thank God. And then when I learned this stuff, I was like, yes, I'm a real alcoholic. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Carl. I'm like, thank you. We're good. And when I realized I was screwed, and I don't remember much of anybody, I'm sure you identify. There's so much of this first year that I can't recall much of. But this conversation, I still remember. And he shared this. He said, the fact is, Lindsay, that for reasons yet obscure, you have lost the power of choice in drink. We're unable at certain times to bring the consciousness with sufficient force and memory of suffering and humiliation, even a week or a month ago. We are without defense. And that was the most confusing thing I had ever heard, because I told him that this time I was so serious and I was never going to drink again. And I got the allergy. I got the whole thing going and I got the obsession. You know, I got it all. And he was like, I know, but like, the only, he was explaining this lack of choice thing. And I was like, but no, bro, like, I get it, but, like, I'm not going to drink again. So we're, like, square there. Because this time is so much more serious than the last time. And he goes, and then it was way more serious than the time before. Those times I was just dicking around. You know, I didn't really care. So, but this time I care so much more. And it's interesting that every time we care more. You know, every time it's like, but this is really the time. They're all really the dang time, you know. But he disturbed me to really look at, I believed I never was able to stay sober because I believed I never wanted it bad enough. I believed that I didn't care enough. But he showed me that it was not as a result of what I cared about, because he started asking me, he goes, oh, wait, did you, like, you know, kind of in the best of my ability sharing this, would you choose to throw everything down the tubes? And I could see the inconsistencies. I could see that, like, no, I really did care about school, my family. I was there every week trying, you know. I showed up. I did everything I thought I needed to do to not drink again or whatever, and I always did. And in that moment when I, like, kind of connected that I was that screwed, he said, the only shot that you have is God. And it, for me, I was just like, yeah. I didn't care, like, all of my prejudice and how much I hate religion. I'm like, gay Southern woman, we hate religion. And, like, like, don't know. But in that moment, I was like, yeah, okay. I didn't care. I was completely convinced that I was without any defense. Like, after the whole conversation of chopping up my entire experience and every time that driving, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, there I am, just wandering, right? All of those experiences just showed me, and I was like, yeah, man. And I prayed every night under my cover so no one would think I was the loser. And that's a real thing in the halfway house. Like, dude, I was desperate and dying, but I still was like, but don't think I'm a loser. You know, like, and then I finally succumbed to the fact of the matter was that I was just going to be the AA loser forever, and I was completely fine with that. I just didn't care anymore about being cool. I just didn't care enough. I just didn't care anymore. And, like, it just started to all fall, and I was like, yeah, I'm down with this. You know, and I was completely convinced and had an experience to go through. And what was interesting is I was very similar. I didn't understand selfishness being the root of my troubles, just like you said. I didn't have any language like I'm using now. The only thing that I was really, truly connected with was that what alcoholism was really, when Carl questioned me, I'm like, have you investigated what it does for you? Like I said, alcohol was the only thing that relieved me of the bondage of me. So therefore, if that was the only thing that set this, that awakened this kind of spirit, I needed this spirit to get awakened, and I needed to get it woke fast, right? Because it's gonna wake up. I mean, I'm telling you, get itchy long enough, you're gonna scratch the itch. You know what I mean? And the lie is that I'm going to see it coming. You know, but the big book uses this great word that I love, and it's suddenly. Right? Suddenly, the thought came. Right? And the fascinating thing about suddenly is the lie is that I'm going to see suddenly coming. And, but the truth is that if I hit you suddenly, that you just got hit. Like, you're not going to be like, it's all suddenly get, you know, like, you're going to be like, ow, you suddenly hit me in the face. And I'm going to be like, ha, alcoholism, you know, like, ah, you know. And I really, truly believe that. My experience shows that deeply. Therefore, since I have all of this experience, I'm like, oh my God, I deeply, everything in me knows that I must be in, I must have an awakened spirit. I must be in connection. The whole thing, this whole, all this stuff is all about connection. That's what it's all about. You know, it's not that difficult, or like, it's really, it's not, it's really not really hard to understand at all, but the freaking tricky thing about it is that we, you know, like we've talked about, no one likes this. It's like super uncomfy, and I'm going to tell you, I'm so sorry, but it's true. If you, we can't force it, we can't, like, I love them, you know, I wasn't at the point of two alternatives yet, all right? So I can't manifest my own surrender. I can't manifest this my own, like, hopelessness. Because if you experience powerlessness, I promise you power will be there. I've never seen it not be there. If you experience hopelessness, I guarantee you hope will be there, period. It's the only thing left. But when there's these slew of other ways that I'm going to make it work, right, then, yes, of course I'm going to go make that work. You have no other, that's it. And it's tricky because it says two alternatives. It ain't even choices. When you get left with two alternatives, you're there, you are at the alternative. Here I am trusting this guy that I just met, you know. Here I am, there I go. It's like all about God, you know, it's all about connection. And recently there's this, I was talking with this woman that I'm working with, and I've been, you know, posing considerations. It's one of my favorite ones. And this is an individual who's incredible, right? This woman's amazing. And she's smart, and she's great, and all these things. And she's not, like, and I see this all the time, even in my experience. Like, I'm not unclear. I meet a lot of people who are, like, they're not confused that they're, like, a drug addict. They're like, yeah, pretty clear on that. Pretty dang clear. You don't have to, not a whole hoopla there. Don't need a lot of, very, really clear. Very clear drug addict. I'm like, all right. But this is the deal. Is that the misconception where, like Carl said, the real killer is the spiritual malady, right? Or the delusion, the illusion, alcoholism, this real nasty thing, is that if you believe, like, maybe I'm a drug, I have this drug addict thing, I'm a real alcoholic and just drink a thing. Well, if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And that's where the disconnect is, right? So I'm looking at this woman, I was like, you're not fully convinced that, dude, it's not this stuff over here, right? That it's like you, you know? So even with, like, second step stuff, I'm a real big believer in, like, I'm really great if you just deeply believe in alcoholism. You will, trust me, you are having experience with power greater than yourself because you've done been having one for 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, if you're having one right now. If you believe in that, you're good to go. Because you don't, it's not like in the second step, I need this big old God. You can go chase a big old God all damn day. What you really need is, like, just, like, not you. Just not, like, me. I'm so bound to me. It's just so, ugh. So, that's kind of wrapping up on that. Truly, currently, I've got some current experience, which I don't know if anybody's going to... wait, I about said I don't know who's going to come tomorrow, but happy y'all mandated. see you tomorrow. You don't even have a choice. Two alternatives. You're here. Welcome. Sorry about it, you know. It's true. It just is what it is. So the first requirement is that I be convinced that any life run on myself, well, run on what I believe, run on how I think, how I operate, can hardly be a success. On that basis, I'm almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though my motives are good, right? So, I mean, tomorrow I'm probably going to share this more, but, I mean, I can go ahead and share it. So, last night, Jamie and I, which she said so many wonderful things about me, but I swear, I'm like, I don't know where I get this grace from. I'm like quite a knucklehead. And what's super interesting is when this, it talks about, this is one of my favorite lines. It says, most people try to live by self-propulsion. Like, so I try to live by self-propulsion, right? So what does this have to do with, like, I'm going to tie all this in to why, as a real alcoholic, it's so vital for me to continue in the leveling of pride, self-certainty, you know, the shortcomings, the inventory, all this stuff, right? It's so vital. So I try to live by self-propulsion. So self-propulsion is Lindsay, right? In Lindsay land, just like propelling, like what I want. Like here I go, right? And it's sneaky because if you would have asked me selfishness being the root of my troubles years ago, I would have been like, that's a little dramatic. Because I'm actually pretty selfless, you know. I would share with you. And if I would absolutely, if you asked me for some, I'd probably do it for you. Right? So I didn't understand it. It took me a long time. I'm a little slow. But just last night, I still to this day, y'all, it still trips me out. I mean, I wrote about the whole experience today, but it still trips me out that I have like such good intentions and I still will harm you. Absolutely. I do it to Jamie like all the goddamn time. So here I am at a meeting, right? And Jamie is like speaking with the newcomer, right? So she's talking with this newcomer that needs some help, needs a sponsor, and I kind of dawdle over there and she goes, oh yeah, we need like someone methamphetamine. And I go, I know. And I zoom off and I try to find this chick. Doesn't work out. Chick's not going to work. Come back in. And all I'm thinking is, my job is I'm going to help and do this thing right now. I'm going to help, take care of it, get the thing, do it. Boom. There's not like a pause or like, hey guys, what's going on? I'm just like, boom, 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 right? And as a result of that, not realizing, I basically just kind of robbed Jamie of an experience that she was having with this woman. Because I just swoosh in there and I'm like, hey girl, it didn't work out. Let me get your number. Call you tomorrow. Da, da, da. Okay. Boom. And it was not present at all. And she was like, man, that really bummed me out. You just came in there and just kind of like flew in there and robbed me of what I was doing. You didn't even ask me. You didn't even sit down. Right? She didn't say all those things. But right when she said that, I went, oh my God, I did. I truly did. I absolutely propelled through self and that I got to take care of this. This is how I'm going to do it. This is what's going to work. Let me do this. I will bulldoze right over you. Sorry. And it's harmful. There's no consideration to her. There's no consideration to the newcomer who maybe needed more time. Maybe I could have like sat down and talked to her, right? But I'm just not present. What is that? What is me investigating this? Thank God I have a partner in my life who will bring these things to me. Don't worry, there's much more that happened after that. That was not the end of that. Miss Spirit is a whole thing. But, we got a whole 5, 6, 7 tomorrow. I mean, don't worry. That's not going anywhere. But why is that important, right? So in the third step, Lindsay is like, Lindsay is the actress who wants to run the whole show. I'm forever trying to arrange the lights, ballet, right? They help these people. If my arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as I wished, dude, the show would be great. Everybody, including myself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. And trying to make these arrangements, trying to be virtuous, all this stuff is one of my favorites. This is me right here. Admitting, I'll admit I'm somewhat at fault. I'll be like, yeah, I was kind of a jerk. But let me tell you the whole thing, though. Right? That's me right there. Not good. Right? I become indignant, angry, self-pitying, my basic trouble. Am I a self-seeker even when trying to be kind? Right? Yeah. I absolutely. Am I a victim if I can only manage well? And this, am I not even in my best moments a producer of confusion rather than harmony? So I just caused major confusion because I tell Jamie, oh, yeah, you're great. You're the best. You're competent. You're so great. I trust that, da, da, da. And I come in there and kind of like prove her very opposite of that, where actually I kind of showed that, no, I can do this better. Let me take care of it. You know, I know what's best here. So I basically caused major confusion. Now, what does this have to do, me explaining this current experience, have anything to do with like, I can't stop drinking and smoking crack or shoot meth or whatever it is, right? It's because this is so trippy about this whole thing, and we talked about it, but think about what alcohol, crack cocaine, methamphetamine does for you. And I'm not talking about the day before you came in. I'm talking about go back there and look at the effect produced, right? So the effect produced is like, or thank God. Right? It kind of relieves you of you, and you can be at peace, or you can like have fun, or you can like be yourself, whatever that does for you, right? And what they're telling me is that when people are like, oh, that's a good dope sponsor, all this other stuff, what they're saying is that going through this process and acknowledging that the only thing that's blocking me from that is me, right? Is basically my inability to connect with you. I can't connect with you because I'm so fearful. I can't be myself because you're going to think I'm a loser. I got to say cool shit or you're going to think I'm not cool enough. You know, I got to make a lot of money or you're not going to want to be my friends. I got to, like, look good, right? All of these. So I can't be me like this with you, right? I can't. So this whole process basically rearranges things within me, shifts and reconnects me to me and you. So if I'm not continuing to stay very present to my connection with people, like my girlfriend, my friends, my family, there is no way that I can stay connected with the power of God, which gives me the only defense I've ever had, right? Which is the only, and I've experienced the 10-step promises. I've experienced recoil as from a hot flame, all that stuff. Absolutely. It's the only thing that's allowed me to be at peace and ease. Is a relationship with power, right? Or at least be content, maybe, sometimes. So there's this other part that I really, really appreciate, because I don't know, since that experience last night, it just continues to show me. I'm just going to go read this part real quick. I know Lincoln's going to like this. So why it's, I'm so committed. Like, why would someone like me, oh yeah, my sobriety date's April 23rd, 2007. So why would someone like me, like, continue to seek diligently within myself and seek counsel from others? Because I deeply do believe that without me connecting with you and me being able to look you in the eye, me being able to just laugh with people and have fun, man, that stuff starts building. That little stuff starts getting all up. I start kind of disconnecting. I can't be transparent with you. I can't connect with you. And then guess what's all up on me? Me, right? Now I'm bound back to me, you know. And I've got to get, I'm going to treat, alcoholism will be treated. I've never seen anyone in my life not treat their alcoholism. It gets treated with a drink or it gets treated with a spiritual awakening. And I very much believe in that. It is my experience. And then page 76, it says, we attempt to sweep away the debris which is accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves, right? So without a continuation of this, right, there's, dude, the dust settles, right? You ever, like, clean your place and realize, like, after, like, a few months, like, I swear I just cleaned that room. I don't know where all that came from. Like, I don't even know how that much dust got on that window, so I'll just dust it, right? It's like that. And that's the same thing with my internal condition, my relationship with God and my fellows, is that I need to continue to revisit and investigate this stuff, man, so I can be awake, so I can have some fun, you know? So I can reconnect with my girlfriend and, like, actually be connected. But it's tough because, you know what, I had to admit a big big thing with all that is that I really don't like, y'all, I just don't like it. I don't like being viewed like a jerk. I want you to view me as, like, a really great person, like who I am, right? I mean, I want you to just be in consistent forgiveness, too, when I fall short. Like, I understand I hurt you, but you should get over it quite rapidly. Yeah, you know, that's how I'm with Jamie all the time. I'm like, I understand I hurt your feelings, but, like, can we get over it? Let's move on. because it makes me uncomfortable. And I don't like being uncomfortable, right? And so me being propelled by self to fix it, I make more troubles, you know, make more troubles. To me, it's just vital. My relationship with God, and when I say being the most important relationship in my life, there's no doubt that it is. You know, you'd say my actions are going to show that, all of that stuff. But more so than anything, it's going to be the clearest indicator of that is the relationships with friends and family and girlfriends. That's where it really shows up. That's where it's going to show up every time, because the more the untreated alcoholism might build, trust me, this will happen. And does anyone have this experience where, like, you, over time, you kind of realize that you have a buddy or a girlfriend or a husband or whatever, and then you're just like, God, they always do that crap. God, they're always doing that. Oh, I know what's going to happen next. You know, I know what you're about to say, right? This kind of stuff, man, no. Like, I am so grateful to have a process and people in my life, and I seek where religious or spiritual people, right, make use of what they offer, all of this stuff. That way I can be completely present to the ever constantly changing, evolving people in my life, right? That, you know, someone really close to my life can go through a profound change, and I get to be there and to witness it and to hold space for them, and they get to do that for me, you know. So the biggest thing, I'll wrap it up real quick, for me is that the connection, I don't really, it's not a thing. I mean, I very much, if I don't have the experience that is spiritual experience, because there's four shifts that the book states that must happen, right? We have to have a psychic change, a spiritual awakening, the experience of fourth dimension, and a shift from the realm of the material to the realm of the spiritual, right? So in those four shifts, right, so you wake the spirit up, meaning look at it, now I'm like actually awake and like present and having fun with y'all. You know, fourth dimension would mean I'm actually participating, you connecting with you, not identifying because of like you're human and like what you look like and all this other crap. And then a shift from the material to the spiritual, meaning like Carl was talking and he was like, I don't know if you're going to get a bunch of money and cars and all that stuff. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But the promise that the book gives you is that you can get a Mercedes or a big old house, but the promise is that you will not need it, those things. You might get them, you might not, but the gift I have today is not having them or not having them. It's absolutely not needing them. It's not having to be driven to them, right? And after those shifts, the greatest thing that I truly, this whole thing, I would love to tell you, oh, God, it's because I'm this and this. Well, one, I'm free of the obsession to drink. I'm free of the obsession to drink today as a result of a loving God who separated me and gave me hopelessness and experienced powerlessness and people in my life who guided me through this. And God, one of the greatest things is I absolutely get the privilege of sharing and connecting this with another male or female. Being able to connect with someone and share this and deeply connect on it, there's nothing greater in this world than knowing that I am you and you are me. It is the most freeing experience when I can genuinely know that the reason that I need you to get well so badly, the reason I show up and I like inconvenience the shit out of my day, the reason that I'm in Acworth, Georgia at 9:50 on a Friday night, you know, and I'm not mandated here by a program or whatever, is because, I mean, mandated in a different way, but is because I genuinely am moved, and knowing that if someone didn't do this for me, I would not be here, I would not have breath, and that I desperately need you to wake up because you are me. And that's how we continue to re-experience life. And I've never met anyone who has deeply, truly surrendered, experienced powerlessness and hopelessness, who do not go through this process and their lives did not get recreated by the power of a loving God. I've not seen one. I just haven't. The only linchpin in it is that, you know, it's a gift. So if there's anyone in here who has had the greatest gift of being surrendered and experiencing hopelessness and powerlessness and getting hooked up with someone to guide you, if you have that experience, I hope, please, I hope you're praying and thanking your Creator every day. Because there's no doubt that it had nothing to do with me. It wasn't like that day. I was like, what's the day? So that experience, if you have not experienced any of this stuff and you're like, what is that? Is that blah, blah, blah? And you have any inkling to do it, please, talk to me. Ask me. I will absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, help you in any way that I can or point you anywhere that I can, or if anything, listen. But that's really the deal, because I'm very clear that there's no separation. between y'all and myself and between me and you. And then when I really started waking up to that, you could not pay me not to come here. You don't have to tell, make me do it. I will do it. You know, you can't, I will drive an hour every Tuesday in the worst traffic because I really feel an absolute, it's a privilege to be able to offer that. It's like to you. Someone did it for me. Carl would drive 2-3 times a week from Alpharetta to Cumming, Georgia. That's a thing. That's a thing. You know what I mean? And I didn't have a license for like a year and a half, so everybody was toting me around. Thank you, Newman. You know, like, toting me around everywhere. And I'm so grateful. So I want to also, sorry to this side of the room. Y'all are kind of hard to get to. You know, it's not really my wheelhouse. So it's not, I'm kind of more of a pivot this way. I want to thank everyone for listening to me and sharing your space with me. And please, if I can be helpful, let me know. I love y'all. Yeah.